Can you guys hear me okay? Hallelujah. Tell you what's stressful getting over here. We left the house right at like 9:20, but we got stuck in traffic and there was a car wreck. And when you're trying to get to church to preach and you don't preach that often, you're kind of like, oh no, I'm going to miss it. And you feel like the Lord's coming back and you're just not ready. So if any of you ever had that dream before that, you know, you're studying for an exam and you haven't prepared for it, that's kind of what I felt like about 30 minutes ago. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come to the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise in our lips, and we just thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us your love, your unconditional love, to reveal your perfect will for us. And we declare we love you with all our heart, our soul, strength. I ask that the Holy Spirit rest upon each person here and that they hear directly from you this morning, not from me, but they hear a revelation from you and they get a revelation from you, Lord. Give me boldness, clarity, and divine words from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I don't get to do this very often. I take it serious and I overthink it quite a bit. And so I want to make sure that I tell you guys what's on my heart. But first, you know, if anybody needs to hear this, you guys do. About a month ago, middle of the night, it's kind of that half sleep, you know, not completely asleep but not completely awake. And sometimes I'll just start kind of talking to the Lord. And I said, God, you took Jim too soon. I was not ready for him to go. And right then, Jim spoke to me in his voice. And Jim said, Rick, I will see you soon. And I'm like, whoa, am I going to die? You know, is something going to happen? And he said, no, the Lord is coming back soon. And it's going to happen really quick. And I said, I'm not ready. And he said, just get close to the Lord. And it was, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, it wasn't Jim, but Jim's spirit is with our spirit, because that spirit's in Christ Jesus. And I want to talk about that, the Holy Spirit in you, and the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to regress a little bit and talk about the last two sermons, just touch on them, and then kind of come back full circle here, because it's important. But, and actually the verse that I'm really going to speak on today is you know, everybody knows this, but in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23-24, it says, this is the commandment that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So we believe, and as we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we're saved. And, not second, and, so we believe, and, so when we receive this Holy Spirit, we love one another as he loved us. You know, we've heard many times in the Old Testament, you know, love others as yourself. But this is a greater love because you now have the Holy Spirit in you. And this Holy Spirit in you is to love. It says, and love one another as he loved us. So that's a different love. It's a different kind of love than what we're born with and what we're used to. And the one who keeps this commandment remains in him, and he remains in us by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. So it's crucial that we understand that, because that is the entire Bible right there. That's everything. And your power comes from the unconditional love of God. Everything that you have as a Christian is inside you. The same Spirit that Christ Jesus has, you have. And you're lacking nothing. And so, you know, you're born again with this Holy Spirit, but your soul is not born again. You haven't been given a new soul yet. You haven't been given a new body yet. So your soul still is wrestling with your old nature. And your old nature was a nature of survival, of selfishness, of me first. So when you're born, like all creatures of this world, you're born with a natural instinct of survival. You put yourself first. Mankind has a higher intellect to process information with their soul, but their nature is me first. And so the love that you have is always going to be conditional. And any rules that you're given, any law that you're given, any word from God that you're given, as long as that law is applied through selfish love, it's always going to be centered around yourself. What does the law mean according to Rick? And that's a different view of what the law means according to Jeff or to Richard or to the rest of you. And so it kind of goes back that the love that he's given us in the Holy Spirit, that we love one another as he's loved us. And as long as we're selfish, then we apply the law according to our will and how we think and what the outcome is going to be to us. And what does that do? Well, it creates stress, sickness, anxiety, frustration, tribulation, wars, fights, you know, all the above. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that no matter what the world creates, as long as you're selfish, it just won't work. It just won't work. And so you can kind of, when you start reading the Bible, and if you take this lens, this filter of the Holy Spirit of unconditional love is what's in me, and I'm going to start looking that way, then every word just jumps off the page and has, they all have the same meaning, but you can read it a little bit different than reading it as a legal letter or as a commandment or an effort, because this should not be an effort. So you kind of look at, you know, for an example, the parable of the sower, you know, the word of God, you know, the seed is put in you, the seed is put in the ground, and if the ground is good ground, then it's going to produce fruit 30, 60 fold. If it's hard packed ground, it's not. So, you know, you are the ground. You know, you literally are. You're carbon vessels, and you're made from carbon. You're made from this earth. Everything we see in this earth is all in the ground, and God puts his seed in it, and that seed can grow or not. So, Jesus tells us in the parable of the sower, you know, what is hard-packed ground? Why does it not grow? Well, hard-packed ground is when people start having cares of the world. They start thinking about the world. When you do that, you start thinking about, what does that mean to me? What's, you know, everything's about you. You're the center of everything. And when you're the center of everything, you're open to temptation. You're open to temptation. The devil comes and lies to you, and you can get caught up. And then the devil is just going to steal the word from you. He's going to steal the joy from you. He's going to steal everything from you. And so you have to get back to, wait a second, that's a lie. What does God say I am? I have that Holy Spirit in me. And that Holy Spirit in me is my power. And with that power, I can overcome the enemy. We are overcomers. And I can overcome my will to the point of death, like Christ did. And that's when you become good ground. And, you know, to get to that point, a lot of churches teach it's a process. And it's not. It's faith. It's faith and faith only. You cannot work out your salvation. It's a free gift. It is a free gift. So I'm going to regress a little bit and go back to my first sermon last April and the one in May, because I really liked them. They really blessed me. I don't know about you guys. But in the first sermon, you know, we talked about kind of like, are we in the last days? And I read from the seven churches in Revelation. And I love that, because it really does kind of slap you in the face and say, wake up, you know, are you hard-packed ground? Are you worried about the world? Are you thinking about yourself? You know, or are you focused on me? And when you're focused on God, you're really focused on others, because it's His Spirit. And the love that you have for God is the same love you have for other people, because it's His love. That's perfect love. It's not like, I have different levels of love. It's just, you get the Holy Spirit, you got it all. You're done. But so it said, you know, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written, for the time is near. You know, it kind of goes back to what Jim said. It's close. It's going to happen really fast. And so he speaks to the seven churches, and I'm not going to read them all like I did last time, but I'm going to give you little snippets of each one. He says, you know, in the first church, you have left your first love. So you get this Holy Spirit, you fall in love, you're like, oh my gosh, Jesus Christ loves me just as I am, the song. You know, I'm a sinner, I have these bad thoughts, I've never done anything in my life, and God loves me anyway. This is amazing. I feel great, and I'm excited, I've got joy. And then all of a sudden in time, I'm kind of worried about the Dallas Cowboys football game, Cowboys lost, I'm worried about I'm not making enough money. You know, my wife's not as nice to me as I'd like. My kids aren't star athletes. You know, I start worrying about things that just get me dragged down, and I just become hard-packed. I become hard-packed ground, and I'm just not bearing fruit because I'm looking at myself. And so, you know, Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, you've left your first love. You know, repent, turn back to me, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand. Strong words. These are strong words. Then he says, the second church, I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty, but you're really rich. He says, you're rich, but you think you're poor because you're thinking, you're looking outwardly. You're looking selfishly. He says, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Okay. So this is exciting. The next church, I have some things against you because you hold to the doctrine of Balaam and you eat things sacrificed to idols and you commit sexual immorality. Repent or else I will come to you quickly. And, you know, then the next church, I have these things against you because you commit sexual immorality. You know, again, indeed, I will cast those who commit adultery into the great tribulation unless they repent from their deeds. So we have an out there, unless you repent. So we have an out from this. And then he says to the next church, I know your works, that you are dead. I have not found your works perfect before God. So I want y'all to remember this word perfect. We're going to come back to it. If you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know which hour I come. So I get the sense that if I do repent, I fall back in love with my first love, that I will know the hour. Yeah, I mean, I might not know the specific hour, but I'm going to know. It's here. You know, it says you will know the season. You won't know the day or the hour, but you'll know the season. So you're going to have a sense it's here. God's here. And, you know, what are you doing with your time right before he comes back? And then the next church, he's like, I know your works. You have a little strength. I will keep you from the hour of tribulation. This is he speaking to the church of Philadelphia. Then the last one to the church of Laodicea, he says, you're neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm, and you need to repent and buy gold refined by me. So buy it from me. So then we kind of fast forward, we go into the bride of Christ, the ten virgins, the verses that scares every Christian to death, because five are wise, five are foolish, and you're like, wait a minute, these ten virgins, aren't they all Christians? Why are five foolish, you know? And they don't have oil in their lamp, and we talked about the oil is that unconditional love of the Holy Spirit. That is your oil. And the foolish ones are like, hey, we don't have any oil, and the wise ones say, well, go to the marketplace to buy it, and so they go to the marketplace, and they miss it. And so, you know, what we spoke about was you go to the marketplace to buy, and what is buying? You're trying to buy your way into heaven. You're trying to earn it. You're under the law. The law doesn't get you into heaven. The law was never designed for you to keep. The law was always designed to protect you from selfish people. You think about it. If you really read the law, I can't steal, I can't kill, I can't cheat, I can't say bad things, I can't desire, I can't dishonor my parents, I can't, because selfish people want other people's stuff. And so the law was like, no, we're going to put some boundaries. These people can't hurt you. And we're all guilty of it. So the law was really not designed to say, hey, you know, don't be a bad person. Well, what is that? That's nothing. You know, gosh, I couldn't kill anybody today. You know, God, I could go to heaven because I didn't kill anybody, God. That's you know, whoopee. You know, what have you done for other people? You know, and so is that a work? It's a work of love. Back to, you've got that unconditional love in you. Then we kind of read, he describes who the bride of Christ is. And he says, you know, when the bridegroom comes and he opens the door, brings him in, and then he shuts the door, and some people are like, hey, I didn't get in. You know, I'm assuming it's the foolish virgins. Hey, you know, we're knocking on the door, and he says, depart, I never knew you. Hey, why didn't we get in? We did all these great things in your name. He says, you know, you didn't feed the hungry, you didn't tend to the sick, you didn't clothe the naked, you didn't do these things, and when you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it unto me. And then the ones that did get in are like, hey, how did we get in? What do we do? What do we, you know, we're just, you know, regular people. And he says, hey, when you did help the sick and help the poor and help them, you did it unto me. So we kind of really know that the wise virgins have the love of the Holy Spirit in them, that unconditional love in them. Those are the wise virgins, and the foolish virgins are still under the law. They're still under the law, and they're trying to go buy their way into heaven. And buying your way into heaven is performing the law. You're trying to do the works of the law to get yourself in there, because your will, when you operate under your will and you operate under conditional love, then you have power over yourself. You have power on your own destiny, and you can control. And you try to do a ledger of, I have more good stuff than bad stuff, then I can get in. And if I save up enough money, if I save up enough works for retirement, then I can kind of sin later in life when I retire. You know, that's just not how it works. It's just, you know, that's all the law. The law is not designed for you to perform. The law was designed to protect you. And so my next sermon was, we talked about the bride of Christ, and we moved over and we talked about the whore. We have the bride on one hand, which is the gospel, unconditional love. Now you have the whore. The whore is the law. The whore sleeps with you for money. The bride sleeps with you for love. The whore is always like, I'm going to love you, but you've got to pay. You have to pay for this love, you know. So, and then as soon as you pay, boom, it's over. You know, you want me to love you again, you got to pay again. You know, it's not unconditional, it is conditional. And so we read in Revelation that all the kings slept with a whore. What does that mean? Go back and look at every great civilization. What did they do? They took religion to control the masses and made people perform works to work their way into heaven. You know, you can look at the Catholic Church, you can look at Islam, you can look at Judaism. You just go back, and the kings all used that. They committed adultery with a whore to put people under bondage. And we do that in our own life. You know, we do it to ourselves. We sleep with a whore, and we put ourselves under bondage thinking, okay, if I do these things, then I'm going to get some grace. And it's just not the way it works. It's not the way it works. You know, I float around to a lot of churches, and I'm really guilty of that. But I hear all these churches when I go, and, you know, and it's sad because, you know, Jim really spoiled us, and he's kind of ruined it for me everywhere else I go, because I'm like, well, they're kind of right. They're just missing a little bit. They're a little bit off here and there. But the one thing that bothers me the most is that when I hear these churches, they're all talking Jesus, which is great, because that's, you know, it's said when we first read that this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the key. You have to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. When you do that, you receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, now it's, am I teaching you law still through Christ Jesus, or am I teaching you the gift of God, the power of God through Christ Jesus? What am I teaching you? And so many churches are still teaching the law through Christ Jesus. And that's going to end up making you a foolish virgin. And, you know, that's not who you are. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have been given a new nature in Christ Jesus. That new nature is the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that's in Christ is in you. Now, so this kind of really kind of gets to really the heart of my message to you guys today, is that, you know, now that we know and have a very good understanding that the law is really designed to protect people, not to be a way to earn your way into heaven, and that the gospel is a free gift of unconditional love, that unconditional love is in us. Now, how do I manifest that love outward? How do I do it? It's by faith. The same way that you believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior is the same way you love others as Christ loves you. And it's His love that does it. It's not your love. By faith, you believe. So you have to daily say to yourself, I am, God's name, I am, is also your name, I am an unconditional lover of Jesus Christ. I'm an unconditional lover of my brethren. I'm an unconditional lover of myself. Now, is there an order to that? I've gotten into big debates with my mom on this. I don't believe there is, personally, because it's perfect love. Perfect love is not tiered. It's not, well, there's the love here, then a love there, and I'm third, I'm second. I just think that unconditional love of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit's love. The Holy Spirit's love is perfect. And the Holy Spirit's love is going to love God and you and your fellow man the same. Perfect. Perfect love is perfect love. And that's the love I have in me. I don't have tiered love in me. I don't have love in me that's a little bit better for good Christians and not as good for bad Christians and really bad for others, and I'm going to be third and sacrifice. I just think God's love is perfect, and you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and you will love others the same way with all your heart, soul, and strength too. It's the same love, and that's what's in you. So you have to renew your mind in the Spirit daily, and that is a choice. So, Jim taught us, and I really got this revelation well, but we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. That's what we're made up of. And you know, your body is, you know, it's basically, you know, what we're looking at. You've got blood, you've got, you know, organs, and you've got metals in your body. You know, and kind of on a side note, two-thirds of your body is blood or water, which two-thirds of the earth is water. Your blood has a salt consistency, the same as the ocean. So you kind of have this salt consistency of two-thirds of your body, kind of like the world does. Then, you know, the remaining one-third is two-thirds, you know, carbon with, a third of that being metals, which is kind of your nervous system that communicates to all your organs, and the blood gives you life. And it's kind of neat if you really study science and how it's made and how God operates. But that's a whole different topic. But the key point here is that you've got this mind. It's called a soul. And with this soul, you have a free will. I get to choose. And I get to think and process the information that I choose. And then I get to feel based on what I chose to believe. So I can choose to believe that the Minnesota Vikings are the worst team in the world, I'm going to hate their guts today. Or I can choose that they're the best team and root for them, and I'm going to hate the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's amazing how your ability to choose and tell your mind how to think, how powerful that is. It is the most powerful thing in the world, is that you get the ability to choose and think, and people will die and kill based on that process. It's how wars are started, and it's how you can be a Democrat or a Republican, and you just don't care. You're going to hate the other side because you've just chosen to think that. You've just chosen to think that. And your free will does that, and your mind is going to think. So I could tell everybody in here, hey, y'all just won $1 billion in the lottery. And if you believed it and you started thinking about it, your emotions would be elated. You would be so full of joy. You really would. I could tell you some really bad news about someone dying, and if you really believed it, you'd be sad. Both could be lies. Neither one of them could be true, but your mind is going to take that, and it's going to meditate on it, and then it's going to feel based on it. So what does that mean? It means feelings always follow thoughts. Feelings always follow thoughts. Thoughts always follow will. Is that clear to everybody? So you get the ability to choose. It's kind of a neat thing that God's given us, is the ability to choose. So then he's also given everybody a measure of faith. Every man has a measure of faith to believe. And you know, non-Christians believe. They believe in all kinds of things. And so when you're young, you believe in Santa Claus. You know, as you get older, you believe in different things. But right now, you know, you have the ability to believe. So what are you going to believe in? Now, if I believe, and so the next thing I have that's a little bit higher than your faith is called a conscience. Your conscience is the word of God is written on every man's heart, so he knows right from wrong. The law. So I can believe in this word of God, and if I believe in this word of God, what happens? Well, that really depends upon your nature. What is your nature? Now, before I was a Christian, my nature was selfish. Everything I looked at was, how does it affect me? What does it mean to me? So I was a conditional lover. Everything was conditional. And so as a conditional lover, the law is how I operated. Because the law is for selfish people. It's not for selfless people. You know, Jesus is very clear that, you know, where there's perfect love, there is no need for the law. The law is not needed for those. And there's no law against loving people unconditionally. So my conscience, if I put my faith in the law, what does that produce? It produces fear. Why is that? Because I'm always afraid I don't do well enough. I'm always afraid I didn't do, you know, one more thing. And that fear is what creates your anxiety. It creates that hard-packed ground where the Holy Spirit in you just can't get out. It can't grow. It can't produce fruit. Your anxieties of the world, your thoughts on everything else, and all of a sudden the devil starts coming in and starts telling you, you're not good enough, other people are better, you got to do this, you need to make more money, you need to dress this way, you need to talk this way, you need to not associate with those people. And all of a sudden, you just start hearing the demons talk to you because you're under self-will and you've put your faith in the law, and the law is only going to scare you, and it's only going to take you to hell. It's only going to take you to hell. And so Jim taught many times that the law shows you you can't do it. And the law wasn't designed for you to do. The law was designed to protect you. So now that I've said, okay, I can't do it. And if you're really real with yourself, you're like, man, I really kind of messed up my life. All I've done is selfish things my entire life. I'm just, you know, what's the whole point, God? And I'll never forget, you know, when I became a Christian, I was 27 years old and thought I was having a heart attack. And I went to the ER and they put the whole EKG on me and said, do you smoke? No. Do you do drugs? No. Do you exercise? I run every day. And he goes, well, you know, your EKG is perfect. You're having a panic attack. I said, no, I'm dying. I'm dying. I just, You know, and it says, no, you're having a panic attack. Here, take some Valium and go home. When I was sitting there at the EKG on, I remember saying to myself, what's the point of life? I kind of grew up in a crappy childhood. There was lots of good parts to it as well, too. But I'm now kind of doing well in business and, got a lot of cool friends, and I'm dying. Boom, it's over. I don't get it. I said, God, if you let me live, I want to know the truth. But I recognized in that moment, in that vulnerable moment of I may die, that I really haven't done anything good enough to get into heaven. I've been pretty all about me my whole life. And so, that's when I just said, I want to know the truth. And a really close friend of mine the next day said, hey, do you want to go to this Bible study? I said, no, that's kind of for stupid people that need, some compass in their life. And all of a sudden, this little voice say, you asked to know the truth. And I'm like, whoa, who said that? That was the first time I really heard a voice outside of myself. And so I said, yeah, I think I'll go. And as soon as I went, every word on that page made perfect sense to me. And so that was the first time I had the Holy Spirit in me, and the first time that I had unconditional love in me. And all of a sudden, I saw things differently. I read the Word differently. Now, I went to church to church to church, and I still heard legalistic, sermons. I didn't hear it's finished, that all you have to do is believe that Christ Jesus is in you, and that same Spirit that's in you can do the same things He did. I didn't hear that. I heard be good, go to Bible study, I heard all the right things, but I never really understood, and it took me a long time. It took me to find this church and spending multiple days with Jim and Robert, and then really kind of hearing the Holy Spirit on my own. And so the point I'm really getting here is that you have this Holy Spirit in you, and this Holy Spirit is your power, and it's a power of unconditional love. And when you have this power, you need to say to yourself daily, this is who I am, this is how I choose to see myself, this is how I choose to see others, this is how I choose to see God, and I'm going to operate it right now. When you do that, you will now see people differently. You see them the way God does. And all of a sudden, you want to help them. You want to help people that are poor. You want to help people that are hungry. You want to help people that are hurting. Every miracle Jesus performed, it says He felt compassion. He wept. Then He healed them. Jesus wasn't like, okay, let's do another work. Let's show off. No, man, I really love these people. I want to help them. That's your nature now. And by faith, you have to choose to believe that every day. And I can promise you that when the body of Christ starts doing that, the blessings will overtake you. Now, these blessings may not be money, but angels will go before you. And when angels go before you, they speak that this is Rick, give him honor. This is Rick, he's a man of God. They'll speak to your own mind, and they'll speak to the minds of people around you. That's what blessings are. And then favor will come upon you. You will find favor with God and man. When you get into your own will, then demons come and tell you lies, and they tell other people lies, and they become curses. And you're always, God, how do I keep repeating the same sin? How do I keep having the same problems over and over? Where's my joy? I'm always, lacking my joy. I'm always, in lawsuits. I'm always struggling with sin. I'm lusting. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm anxiety. I'm anxious. I'm sick. Why is that? It's because you're not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not choosing to believe who you are in Christ Jesus. And so it's extremely important that you take this mindset on who you are in Christ Jesus on a daily basis. And as you do that, not just will angels go before you, but the angels will cause resources to come your way. These resources aren't to build your kingdom. They're to help other people. Now, I've got, you know, 4 kids, and I love them all the same. Is one of those kids going to be a better steward over the others? I don't know yet. Maybe. I thought that. One might be a better steward than the others. The one that's a better steward, I might put in charge of things. Doesn't mean I love the others less. I just know that that one will take care of the other ones. The ones that aren't a good steward, I'm afraid to give them resources because they may not take care of others. They may only take care of themselves. And in doing so, they may fall into hearing the enemy say, get drunk, party, do whatever you want. You know, God's thinking the same thing with us. We're his children, and he wants to give all of us everything in the world, and he's going to. But as long as we still are on this earth and we still have an old nature that we're fighting the world, then we're going to be tempted. And we have to literally every day die to our will, die to our will, come alive unto his will. That is inside of us. So my will can now be his will. I can choose it by faith. That's who I am. And as I do that, then blessings will overtake me because I'm going to be a steward of those blessings with the rest of God's children. And that's what he wants us to do. Now, as you really operate in unconditional love, the resources aren't going to mean anything to you. They're endless. There's an endless supply of resources. They're always available to you. That will no longer be your focus. Your focus will be on helping other people. And as you do that, I can promise you the gifts of the Spirit will come upon you too. People are like, you know, when are we going to start healing people? When are we going to start doing the works that Christ did? And when is the power of the Holy Spirit that the apostles experienced? When we, by choice, believe that we are unconditional lovers every day, and you just say, I reject my self-will, I reject the lies of Satan, I choose to believe that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, I unconditionally love my fellow brethren. As you do that, then the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. And it's because you're a good steward, not because you're a better Christian, not because I've gone to church more times this week, I've done more Bible studies, I've had more prayers. That is not how it works. The power of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are given. And we know that the parable of the talents, those who do more with their talents, much more is given to them. Those that don't do anything, the talents are taken away. You know, what are those talents? You know, a lot of us businessmen like to think, I'm going to make more money, you know, if I'm a good steward, but that's not it. It's the talents are loving other people, and the stewardship of resources comes into play to love more people. That's the idea, is that God's going to give those resources to people that are going to take care of the people that don't take care of themselves. And those people are the ones still operating under the law, still operating under their self-will. And so, as you know this, you kind of get a really clear answer. So I've got a few verses that I want to read. But like 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So what did we read back in that church that Jesus spoke to? And he says that, it's the fourth church. So I know your works, that you are dead. I've not found your works perfect before God. So what is perfect before God? Well, perfect is the unconditional love. That's perfect, unconditional love. That means I love you with no conditions. You don't have to look good. You don't have to be the right weight. You don't have to have the right clothes. You don't have to have the right money. You don't have to do the right things. You don't have to do anything for me. I love you no matter what. That is perfect love. And when you have perfect love in you, it casts out all fear. So we've heard the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, but the end of it, the gospel, is that perfect love casts out that fear. When you operate in fear, it's because you're still in the law. When you operate in the gospel, there is no fear because you're not looking at how you measure up. You're looking at how you can help other people. Now, this isn't a work. It's because you love them. When you love somebody, you want to do things for them. So most of you in here have had children, and it's kind of the one example that God gives us, that this unconditional love in all humans, that, boy, you just want to do anything for your kids. You just want to do anything for them, and you'll lay down your life for them. And that love, you know, sometimes that grows cold as the kids get older. But that love is the love that we're all supposed to have, and we have that in the Holy Spirit. I have another verse in 1 John chapter 2, 3, 6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we know that this Holy Spirit is a spirit of unconditional love. It is the perfect love. The perfect love that is in us is what keeps us from having fear, keeps us from having anxiety, keeps us from worrying about the cares of the world, and all of a sudden, our ground now becomes good ground. When you become good ground, your carbon body, when it becomes good ground, then you will produce 30, 60, 90-fold fruit. And that fruit will be produced not as a reward. It's going to be produced as an opportunity to bless more people. If you're loving people for reward, then you're under the law. Make no mistake about it. You know, I got into an argument like 6-7 years ago with this really strong Christian guy. He's like, Rick, you've got to really start doing all these things so you can get some crowns, some jewels in your crown in heaven. You know, you want all these rewards. And I'm just like, gosh, if I start thinking about that, then the next thing I know, I'm thinking about all kinds of things Rick wants. You know, how do I win? How do I get more stuff? I mean, you just can't think like that. And the people who were knocking on the door, the foolish virgins, hey, let us in, let us in. We did all these things in your name. Depart, I never knew you. Depart, I never knew you. And those are hard words. But I did all these great things in your name. I did all these food drives. I did all these prayer meetings. I did all these things for you, God. And it's like, I never knew you. Because you didn't do anything to the least of my brethren. So this perfect love that's in us is not looking for something in return. There's nobody on earth that can give you anything that you need. God gives it all to you in the Holy Spirit. And he gives it to you in his perfect love, and the resources will follow. And if you really believe that, you will not fret. You will not worry about your meal tomorrow. You will not worry about your retirement. You will not worry about who wins the election. You will not worry about the world uniting under a global order, the Great Reset, as they, you know, you hear on the internet. There is a Great Reset coming. It's called the return of Jesus Christ. They just don't know it. They don't know that the Great Reset they're planning is for Christ to return. That's the Great Reset. So, you know, you have to look at things through God's eyes. And when you look at things through God's eyes, then you're going to see people differently. You'll see the circumstances differently. And I can tell you, every circumstance that looks bad, it's an opportunity for God to shine and bless you and for you to bless others. This tribulation that's coming, are we going through it or are we going to be out of it? I can't really speak to that, but what I can speak, that if you have this unconditional love inside you, you believe it and let it manifest in you, that when you're in the tribulation, it's going to be heaven. And you're going to have so many opportunities to bless other people. And you will be so blessed. When you go through hell and you've got Jesus Christ with you, who can touch you? He's already in you. So just know that whatever's coming tomorrow, if you know that, boy, I'm living for eternity, I'm co-ruling with Christ over all the universe, and I'm never going to lack for anything. In fact, I'm going to have so much abundance. I'm going to be Christ-like. You know, what is it that, the Calvinists believe in predestination? You know, the reality is you are predestined to be Christ-like. That's what that verse means. You're predestined to have a new body, a new soul, to be able to, you know, fly, walk through walls, whatever, have a cape on, you know. But that's who you're going to be. If you really believe that, then this world doesn't matter. Let's do everything we can to love others, because that's my power. That's what's in me. So this is kind of my message to you guys today, is to choose to believe who you are in Christ Jesus, that you have the perfect love in you. That perfect love doesn't need any help. It's not different degrees of love. There's no process for this love. It's a faith statement that you choose to believe, and you choose right now. You don't have to wait till you've cleaned up or you've had a shower or you've quit sinning for a while. You just start right now, right where you are. Right this minute. And it's over with. It's finished. You know, one thing Jim said to me that I'll never forget, he said, you can be the worst sinner in the world. Just like that, by faith, you're right there even with the best person, the best Christian there is. That's it. And so I do want to make one last comment, and this is kind of a personal one for me, but for those who known me a long time, I had cancer 11 years ago, and it was throat cancer. And with throat cancer, you know, they put chemo in you and give you radiation, and you can't swallow. And you have to have a feeding tube put in you to stay alive. And it's a horrible experience. But when I went through this, you know, you get stripped of everything. And I really learned how to hear God, because I wasn't thinking about the cares of the world, about my bank account, my money, anything else. I was just thinking about, God, what will happen again? And I started hearing God. And I literally just had, by choice, believe that God was with me every day. And I started praising Him every day. And I go through chemo and I do this. And God would speak to me. And I'll never forget one day saying, God, I can't do this. It's too much. And He said to me, and I was in my backyard, because my exercise was just kind of like walk around the backyard once. That was about all I could do. And He said, you see the trees and the bushes and the grasses, you prune them, I'm pruning you. And I said, but it's too much. And He says, I bring tornadoes, hurricanes, the land always comes back stronger, and so will you. Then I said, how do I know I'm not crazy listening to myself talk? And He said, I'm always talking. People aren't listening. He's always talking to you. The Holy Spirit that's in you is always speaking to you. You do not have to clean up. You just have to start believing in who you are. And that Spirit is always talking to you. He's talking to all men. Always. So you don't have to do anything to hear God, other than just start believing I'm an unconditional lover, and you'll hear God. Now, having said that, the state of mind that I was in was I wanted one thing in life at that point, because I didn't know if I was going to live, die, what was going to happen to me. But the greatest disappointment I had in my life
was not being able to eat with friends and family. And I miss that more than anything in the world. Just to have a meal, break bread, and share with my friends and my kids and my wife. And I long for that for more than anything else. I get choked up thinking about it. So imagine you have one day left to live. What are you going to do with the last day of your life? What did Christ do? The last day he was alive, he chose to have a meal with his friends and family. He chose to break bread with them, have supper and fellowship. This Thanksgiving, you have that chance to do that with your family. And so, Christ knew that the day before he had to die for us, because he loved us unconditionally, he wanted to spend his last sane hours with his family breaking bread. And we get to do that this Thursday. So, sorry I get a little bit emotional thinking about that, because it still resonates with me in a big way. But I hope you guys were blessed today. When I do this, I get more blessed than you guys do, because one, I get to prepare. Two, I really ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me, and then I kind of am teaching myself. And so if you guys don't get blessed, I bless myself. But I'm hoping you did. And so I just thank God for you guys. I thank God for this church. I do miss Jim, but he's here in spirit with us. That message I can give you for sure. And we will see him soon. That's a word that the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you guys. And that we're lacking nothing, that we have everything we need, that power is in us, and we just have to believe in it. And we're going to have the best time over the next few years. The best is yet to come. We've been chosen to live through it, because we are going to be stewards of God, stewards of his love. And we are going to love. I speak this in truth over you. I speak this in truth over your family. And I speak this in truth over your friends. And as you speak this to your friends and family, they will see it in your eyes, and then hear it in your voice. So we're going to pray that right now, then I'll take any questions or comments or testimonies. But dear God in heaven, we thank you so much for your unconditional love. We thank you that you have put your Holy Spirit in us, and that Holy Spirit is a spirit of perfect love. We are not lacking anything. We have no concerns. We have no worries, because we have you with us, and that's all we need. And with that, we get everything. And so we choose today to believe that you love us unconditionally. We choose to believe today that we love others unconditionally. We choose to believe that we love ourselves unconditionally. And we are going to manifest that, and we are going to shout for joy. We are going to be happy, and in all things that we do, and in all things we do, we're going to count everything joyful, and give you all the thanks. And we thank you for this word. We thank you for your love, and we just count it all to your glory and your name. In Jesus' name we